Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one in the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We are at the very end of 2022.
Yeah. Happy Hanukkah. We're almost to Hanukkah. A lot going on.
Mm-hmm. It's been busy.
Yeah, it is. It feels very busy lately. Yes. There's like between all my kids, there's literally for the next, like last week and this week, there's been some school event, like chorus concert, meeting for upcoming ninth graders at high school, like every single night for 2 weeks straight.
That's crazy.
It's very overwhelming to my introverted, need some personal time to reflect and recharge self. But I'm excited for this episode. We've done this.
Too.
I'm not sure if I can say we've done this for 2 years. We've definitely did it last year.
We've just done taking this every the time. Year.
Yeah. Okay. So this is our third year, which is kind of crazy. Reflecting upon, third year reflecting upon the year and just kind of talking about, you know, what went well, even better. I like the WWWEBI, which is what went well. And then even better if,
yeah,
which is a positive spin on what I might do differently. Why are you laughing?
I was just, that always comes up at work. You know, that's like such a thing from mm-hmm. your group. But
that's
some people
model.
Like don't really understand how it works. And so it'd be like, you know, even better if would be if you're not such an idiot all the time, you know, that would
right.
be the equivalent
yeah.
of it.
People
like that's not the spirit of the feedback
yeah.
model.
Right. Yes. It's supposed to be, you know, a gentle way of saying it'd be even better if we assumed good intent and were nice to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you say, like, don't be an idiot.
Yeah.
It's you need to, like, you know, spin it in a positive direction. That is a model I learned from HR at work, but I still really like it. Okay. So we're going to start reflecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our 181st episode. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's crazy.
And we've done a full 52 this year, every single Monday without fail since the start
every
of this podcast.
Every single Monday. You know, what's funny is this Monday, yesterday, I woke up and thought, oh my gosh, I had such a busy Sunday night and I was just exhausted and went to bed much earlier than normal, which is like 10:30 for me instead of midnight or 1 a.m. And I woke up Monday morning, like my alarm went off to get the kids to school. And I was like, oh my God. For the first time ever, I forgot to finish the podcast, which I tend to do Sunday nights, like finish scheduling it and the webpage and a bunch of things. And then I was like, oh, I looked and I was like, I had actually scheduled it, finished it and scheduled it the week before, but I didn't with the webpage. So the webpage wasn't up until like, but usually they go live at like 12:05 on Sunday, Monday a.m., you know, which equivalent is Sunday night. But I thought I was like, this would be the first time I've like ever missed that schedule. And I was a little like upset with myself till I realized
I would have been upset with you too.
I know. Well, I was going to say, I'm not sure you would have noticed if I had just gotten it done really quickly, but maybe you probably would have. We'll see. Someday I'll just not do it and see if anybody notices.
You would notice and feel bad about it.
Speaking of that, that was like a huge, common. Sometimes I took that approach at work, especially when I used to run our analytics team. And we would debate certain reports that were like time intensive to create. And we would be like, we don't really think anyone looks at this anymore. Like, should we really do it? And I was like, you know what? The best way to find out is just quit sending it and see if you get any complaints.
Oh, yeah.
And if we do, of course, we'll turn it back. You know, we'll reassess. But that was my favorite thing to do, was just stop, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someday I'll just stop pushing out the podcast and see what happens. But not today.
Not today.
Not today.
All right, so we're going to run through reflections on 2022, and we're going to take turns. Maggie, I can see you chomping at the bit to get started. So do you want to start with your reflections on the year?
I'm really tired today, so you do not see me chomping at the bit.
Have you had your coffee?
I drink decaf. So I've got my decaf. Craig just made me a decaf. And it's the perfect temperature right now. Okay. So I like doing this because, you know, you just take a moment to just look back and think like, well, what did I do this year? Right. And so for me this year, obviously, there was one thing that really stood out. Can you guess what that is, Mike?
You quit your job.
I finally quit my job and retired. And it's funny, some people have asked this, like how long I had been planning this or how long I knew this was going to happen. And I was like, I can't even really remember. I mean, I think I had some kind of soft goals, like a pipe dream that I could do this, you know, maybe going back 6 or 7 years, maybe since I even like knew about Rich and Regular from, not met, but because I already knew Kirsten and Julian, but just read their blog and was more familiar with the FIRE concept. And then I think it got a little bit more serious once I met you and realized people actually do this. And like you grew up in a family that did this, and we would have more conversations about just the purpose of life and work not being every, like we could still do good, well at our jobs and take pride in what we do, but it doesn't have to be our everything, right? And I think you don't meet a lot of people who have that perspective about work, right? And so I can't even remember how far it goes back, but for years, the last couple years leading up to it, I knew it was going to be financially possible, but I always kind of had this one more year, like it was hard to walk away from the money, I was going to say like esteem, but just that I had worked really hard to get to the level I was at, and to walk away from it all felt wrong and like a path not taken by many, right? And kind of a counter to culture. What's the word? Counterculture.
Counterculture.
I'm gonna make up a new phrase, which is counter to culture.
Okay.
But it felt counterculture. It was not the American dream I was, you know, told I should have. And so it felt weird. It felt awkward. It felt scary, all these things. But I did it. And I've said this a few times, Mike. I would like to thank you for inspiring me and kind of being along on that journey with me. And, you know, pushing me, giving me like the good kind of peer pressure, like we recently talked about in an episode. And so anyways, I retired. That was one of my biggest reflections. And that was almost exactly 6 months ago. 6 months ago, when it'll be the end of the year, around exactly 6 months. And so my other reflections, I traveled for 8+ weeks of the year, more than 2 months of the year I was traveling, which was pretty cool. You know, 6 months of it was our epic trip to Europe right after our retirement with our kids. Went to 6 countries. We got to hang out with Mike and his crew.
Which was great fun.
Yeah, it was great fun. In Austria and Germany. We're staying in Austria, but we were in Germany half the time. And then, you know, we did like a week at the beach for spring break. We did Camp Phi. We did a bunch of smaller trips. I did a trip with some of my very good friends from growing up in the mountains. And just, you know, when I really looked back at it, I was gone for over 2 months, which was pretty cool. So I started tracking my books in Goodreads this year. And guess how many books I've read so far? So I know that this is accurate. Actually, this is probably a little light because I'm bad about tracking some more recent ones. 62 books.
That's incredible.
This year. Yeah. A mix of audio and physically read books. More physical books than in the past year, I think. But I believe an audiobook counts. It's incredible, but I will say I actually want to do more podcasts next year. And I like sometimes over index, like I'll just get into reading books. I do like books a lot. But I also feel like I've not spent as much time listening to podcasts that I enjoy as a result of often listening to books all the time. But I've like generally stayed pretty healthy and active. Not quite as much as I had envisioned in retirement. Like I had envisioned and always had a desire to do more. Like I want to build up some of my like upper body strength and learn how to do a pull up. And like, I've just been really like slacking on those goals from a lack of time and just needing to prioritize different things. And so I've lately been deprioritizing that. I'm still I'd say very healthy and active compared to the average person, but there are things that I have goals to do better in that area. So that's one of my even better ifs of like, it went well, but there's also some even better ifs. I'm pretty impressed with my credit card hacking this year.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
I've got, could you tell me how many miles I have from our,
I think you were like 600,000 or 700,000.
Yeah. Between me and Greg, we, yeah, definitely over 500,000 in miles. And that's a first for us. I've never done true credit card hacking. I've always just like had my, you know, I put everything on a credit card, but I have like one, I put everything on my Delta Amex or my Amazon Visa. And this was the first time we really like leveraged the sign up bonuses and, you know, optimized our spend. Now it gets to the point where when I have something expensive that's like unexpected that happens, I'm like, man, that's a bummer. It's not going towards a spend bonus on a credit card. And I get really disappointed that I just have to put it on my old Delta Amex, you know? But we've earned like a lot of miles. That's funded. We booked trips for next summer to Scotland and the UK. The kids are really excited about it. And that was funded with all miles that we earned this year. It's been pretty cool. And it's something I'm a little overwhelmed by it right now. Like I have so many benefits I'm trying to use that it's like a little part-time job or hobby, to keep up with, but it's a good problem to have, I guess, if you will. So many credit card hacking benefits, so little time. I actually want to know how you keep up with all your benefits sometime. You have a spreadsheet.
Mm-mm.
You just keep it in that beautiful mind of yours.
Yep.
Just like rolling around.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's like, I don't have that beautiful. My mind is like, you know, all over the place. So that's the problem with my travel hacking benefits. Just yesterday, I like wrote them all. I wrote a bunch of them out on a dry erase board that I need to leverage that are expiring soon. Okay. I feel like this is a lot of me talking, but we're going to get to you soon.
So Maggie, in the spirit of this podcast and early retirement, your top goal or your top reflection, what have you accomplished?
Yeah. So I had my like fire bucket list that I think I talked about in one of our episodes where I was announcing my retirement or our retirement. And I have, you know, we've talked about like that I've just not had enough time and I've been shocked by, I had this vision of having so much free time and sitting around and like reading an entire book one day. And like none of that has happened yet, but I still have accomplished and started to lean into some of the goals that I did have on my kind of fire bucket list. I learned how to make sourdough and have been making it regularly.
I'm still waiting on a loaf, Maggie.
The problem is we don't live super close to each other. And so it's literally like 45 minutes plus round trip for me to like bring you a loaf of bread. And so when I make bread, they tend to go to people who live within, you know, like people who will drop by my house and pick up their loaf. And so the loaf is
you and Greg are going to come over sometime in the next few weeks, right? Will you bring me a loaf?
That's the other trick is if you understand the sourdough process, it's a multi-day process. And so that also has to align with like when I see somebody, which a few times I've like wanted to bring someone bread and I'm like, oh, well that didn't, you know, I had to start feeding my starter 3 days ago and that didn't happen. And
yeah,
I now lost my
window. All of this sounds like a you problem. I just want some sourdough.
Yeah. Well, it's $4.19 at Aldi. Not nearly as good as mine, though. Okay. So, yeah, I've started making sourdough. Someday Mike's going to get it. But I think the longer I wait, the better it's going to taste, you know? And then I've taken on a lot of volunteering and like leadership volunteer roles on various things in my community with another organization that I do some work with. And that was a big goal of mine. And so that's one of the things that's filling me up. I've now stopped in terms of like, I am overcommitted in the things that I've agreed to take on. I'm on a few different like neighborhood boards with like the swim council and a few other things. And so, and some things at our kids' schools. And so I'm stopping that. I'm like, I've got to put some walls up. I've overcommitted myself there, but I still feel good that was an intent of mine is to, you know, be an active member of my community. And I'm doing that. So that's one of my, you know, fire accomplishments. And then I think another little thing is like, I just wanted to be around to like with the kids and with my family and different things. And like, I just booked this trip to take with my mom. And I'm like, I don't think I would have done that in my old life. I would have just been like really busy and not prioritized it.
as you described a few times when we were discussing your early retirement, the way that you viewed your experiences working was that you, quote unquote, gave the best of yourself to work. And this is an example of where you are now giving the best of yourself to your family.
Yeah, that is a great way of summarizing it. So on that, I'll keep moving. You talked about this at the beginning. I'm very proud of Friends on Fire. It's going strong, right? We continue to be consistent and we've continued to see some kind of, you know, slow and steady growth with it also. I enjoy the podcast. I like that we've kept it ad free. That's kind of a desire of mine. We've continued to get to meet some really interesting people through doing interviews. We're kind of reassessing, I've mentioned this before, whether we're going to do as many interviews in the future for a few different reasons. But we are going to keep going with the podcast and I feel good about it. And it's actually one of the things I actually had expected to have more time to put into that I've not had time to put into it. And we had a couple like paid speaking engagements that we did for the Rose Summit in Portland and, you know, a couple other things. And by the way, we do speaking engagements if anyone ever wants us to like come talk to their company or an employee resource group at their company or some sort of a community organization or different things. And it's been we don't do a lot of it, but we really enjoy doing it. We've done it a number of times. And then just generally, like I'm feeling super overcommitted lately, considering I don't have a full-time job anymore. And I once had a pretty demanding job. So I'm still trying to figure out like, you know, just this balance of, you know, what my new life looks like. But I'm 6 months into it and I know it's going to take some time and more time than it has been so far. So I've got a lot of optimism for what's ahead. That's kind of those were like my main reflections when I really took 10 minutes, because that's all I had because I'm overcommitted. When I really took some time to like reflect on the year and look back at things. I will say, since we're a financial podcast, a couple of quick financial observations of this year. Holy crap. I have spent a lot of money this year, which we'll talk about next in a few in a couple episodes. We need time to actually do our like full expense tracking for the year, which we can't do until the year finishes. So a couple episodes into 2023, we will do a full 2022 spending recap, which is always fun. I'm kind of scared for Mike to see what I've spent. Again, the good kind of peer pressure. But
I'm gonna hit you with even better if, though, when we do that. Like, these were good expenses. It would be even better if you spent half of what you did.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that. There's a lot of things looking back that I feel very good about. No regrets. Couldn't have avoided also, and meant plenty that I could have avoided. And then there are some where I'm like, oh, I do have some like even better ifs. You know, regret's a strong word because I don't feel that negatively about anything I've spent money on. But some even better ifs of like, you know, goals for 2023. But my biggest thing on financially is like, medical expenses. Oh my gosh. I don't even know the exact number, but I've had a lot of medical expenses, some planned and some unplanned. Like my daughter had a emergency oral surgery. I still don't know how much we're going to have to pay because insurance is taking forever. But that was like a few $1,000 out of pocket. I did my TMJ treatment earlier in the year. That was like $4,000. I can't even. Oh, I had a crown. That was $2,000. I mean, it's just like over $10,000 in medical expenses. And it just, I was a little unexpected and will be interesting. It'll be better next year, ironically, in retirement. I'll have some better insurance, which we'll talk about. We're going to do a benefits episode next year. Okay. I know this is like, you're going to talk a lot in a minute, so I shouldn't feel so bad about talking so much, but last couple financial thoughts. Fascinating like cycles of spending post-retirement. Right after we retired, I was in a very like fear-based spending situation. I felt very guilty and like every little thing that came up, like just the kids needed a few dollars for this or that, everything was like creating anxiety. And I was very like miserly about spending for a little while right after we retired. And then it sort of turned into this like a bunch of things happened. Like I had some different people in my life died, like just a lot of things where I was just like, life is short. And I found that fire simulator. What's it called?
I don't remember.
Something. We put it in some show notes. I'll find it and put it in the show notes. But it's a really cool fire simulator. It reminded me that I'm going to be fine no matter what, like with, you know, a lot of different potential things that could happen over the next, you know, 20, 30 years, et cetera. And I kind of, it kind of shifted into like a lot of splurging again for a lot of those reasons combined of just having these like life is short moments. And I have more time on my hands. And it's actually, I've heard a lot of people say you spend less in early retirement. Maggie does not spend less in early retirement. I got time to like go do stuff and like meet people for lunch and different things. And so it's sort of been the cycles of spending are fascinating because right after I quit, I went way down and got like really like anxiety and fear based around spending. Anxious, I guess would be the right tense on that. And then it developed into like a ton of splurging, which we'll talk about when we do our 2022 spending recap. And we recently bought a Tesla. Just going to leave that as a, that's you know, not a joke, by the way.
Maggie, well, you know that we are friends on fire, not Bessies with Tessies, right?
I mean, Greg and I are Bessies with Tessies now. I got a couple good friends with Tessies too. So now we're Bessies with Tessies. It's funny. I use that example in the, good kind of peer pressure of like a Bessie with a Tessie. And that was like literally a week before we, and I didn't really know that was going to happen. But anyways, someday we'll get into the, it is true, but Maggie and Greg now own a Tesla, which has been a electric vehicle dream for our hippie hearts for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was a lot.
All right. We're going to transition on that bombshell that you dropped.
We're just a ton of money teaser. On
Tesla.
Yeah. Teaser. We ran out of time, Mike, actually. So that's going to be the whole episode. You don't get to do any of your, do you really have any, most of your reflections should be about me and my retirement this year. So we're good. Okay. Hey, thanks for listening, guys. If you have any, just kidding. Okay.
I do have got? Reflections.
I know you have,
but
a lot
I also
of good
have
ones.
Some reflections on
my reflections.
On your year.
Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah. Give me your reflections on my year.
It ended up being a good year for you. You made a major life change, both you and Greg, and I'm sure that it was the best thing for your life and for your family. But I think it was, maybe you've pushed this out of your mind a little bit, but the anxiety and stress that you experienced in that 6 months leading up to your retirement, I think was really dramatic and profound and hard to deal with. So I've been very impressed.
Was it hard to you mean hard to deal with for you?
It was very hard for me to deal with. It wasn't a whole lot I could do to help you with it. But I've been very impressed by how you've made this change and thrived.
That's so nice of you to say, Mike. It's funny that you mentioned that too, because I tend to have a fairly like short-term memory on a lot of things, which is a good thing in so many cases because I just don't dwell on a lot of, but I also just can't remember things. And so I kind of forgot about that time because you're right. I was pretty anxious leading up to it, right? Yeah. And just question like, is this the right decision? And it's funny, I had lunch with someone from our company a couple weeks ago and I told them exactly what I've told you like a million times. Of all the things that I was worried about, like the biggest thing that I was worried about, aside from like financial stuff, was just that I would regret my decision and not, that I walked away from a really good company and a really good job and like good people and just a lot of history. And I just was like, I was afraid that on the other side, I was going to be like, what in the hell did I just do? And I can't get it back, which isn't actually true. I could have if I really had that moment. But I didn't. That was, of all the things I've had, like anxiety about spending, different lots of feelings in the last 6 months, I have not once had a, oh my God, why did I walk away from that? You know, like I felt good about, I mean, I've had, again, lots of feelings, but none that were about the job itself and why and walking away from it and regretting that.
Yeah.
Which is a good feeling.
So in preparation for 2023, I have a little something for you. I know how much you love it when I read you poems. Do you remember the last poem I read?
It was The Path Not Taken. Yeah, The Road Not Taken. And do you remember I cried?
Yeah, you did cry.
Yeah.
So there's another poem that I really love and I think is something that you're probably working towards and will benefit from. And I think everybody will benefit from because you talked about balance, and you talked about your oscillating in how you spend money. And so there's this poem by Rudyard Kipling called If. Have you heard of it?
I think I maybe have, but like I just said, bad memory. This will be like most movies. Halfway through the movie, I'll realize I've already seen the movie.
I think this will be helpful. You know, one of the things that you've noticed about me is that I don't really like get that upset about stuff. Like I'm very mm-hmm. even keeled. And so this poem is really about the balance in life and how you handle different types of adversity and success.
Is this going to make me cry?
Maybe. So are you ready, Maggie?
I'm ready. I'm okay. Already crying at the anticipation of crying. All right. Go ahead.
Cue the royalty-free music. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about but don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make a heap of all your winnings, and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you, except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you. If all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and, which is more, you'll be a man, my son, or daughter.
Did you add or daughter?
Yeah, I added that.
I was just going to say that it's very sexist right at the end there, except it's probably written to his son, so it's not at all. Way to go. I don't know if you noticed. I actually closed my eyes so I could like really listen while you were reading it because I am constantly just distracted by everything on the screen. I was crying. That was beautiful. I would like to read it again because there were so many things. What's it called?
If.
It came up right away. It sounds familiar. Mainly the author, the writer's name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a very famous poet.
Gosh, if you can meet, it was the...
If you can meet with triumph and disaster.
And disaster, and treat those two imposters just the same. And then watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools.
Mm-hmm.
There were just some like very poignant phrases in there. That's great, Mike. Well, we're going to have to do more poems. We're going to do less interviews next year, but sounds like we might need to have Mike read more poetry. That was beautiful. Thank you very much.
All right.
Glad I already got my reflections out since I'm now crying.
Yes. So that'll be your inspiration for 2023.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, my reflections on 2022. I'm going to try to do this in the next 3.5 minutes because we've spent the entire episode with you talking.
That's the goal. That's what people say they like.
Yeah.
About a 93% Maggie, 7% Mike. We've actually done some
that's a sweet
testing.
Spot. Yeah. All right. So at a high level, 2022 and 21 for that matter were really good years for me. They were consistent years, which is crazy considering how terrible it was for many people around the world. And I realize that is a privileged existence and it is not lost on me. But it was a very good year for me. Weirdly, though, I didn't hit either of my financial goals. So I wanted to grow 15% net worth, which I did not hit because the market was at a peak when I set that goal at the end of 2021. It has since declined steadily since then.
So you're blaming it on the market?
Well, yeah, I'm invested in the market. That's how my net worth grows.
Yeah.
And then my other goal was a 15% spending reduction year over year, which I also did not hit. My spending was flat. And the interesting thing is, if I didn't do my big DIY projects, which I'll talk about in a minute, if I didn't have some kind of unavoidable housing repair costs, or if I didn't spend money, a lot of money on travel for next year, I could have very easily hit this. There's a lot of ways that I could have hit this number. But if I look back on my spending, there isn't a single thing that I would be like, yeah, that wasn't worth it. It was certainly a no regrets type year. And I think that's an important point about financial goals and, like, you know, budgeting or whatever you want to call it. I think I was very values based in all of my spending. And therefore, Even though I didn't quote unquote hit my goal, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. It's just like at work when you're over budget, but you have a legitimate reason and rationale that makes sense. And it wasn't, you know, like it was intentional and planned and everything else, and or unintentional. Like you can't predict the stock market, right?
Yeah.
I think you've done quite well. And if you recall, when you set that goal of reducing your spending, I was like, I don't know how you can reduce spending that I already consider incredibly low. So I was like, I was going to be shocked if you could continue to reduce, that you would just be like sitting in a corner with no lights on and the heat off eating rice and beans. So I'm kind of happy that you have not reduced that, which it sounds like you are too, because you did some super cool projects and things that, you know, had some big expenses, but you saved. It's like you had big expenses, but if you had hired someone to do those things, you would have spent 20 times that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So you really saved money in the end. That's how I like to think about it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You basically made money by building your own deck.
I actually think I did, because I added value to the house.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
I guess one more financial point before I get into some other reflections is that it really brought home to me the benefit of diversification this year because of the inflationary environment that we found ourselves in. So I've always been very heavy in real estate by design, but it's more of like, it's always been like a theoretical design. But this year when the market tanked, but housing prices globally went way up, I could really see the impact of this on my net worth chart. And so it reinforced the fact that diversification is not just a theoretical thing that you should target. Like, you really do need diversification in your portfolio, because this stuff is going to happen.
Do you update your rental properties like month to month, or like have you updated the value of your rental properties this year versus last year?
Yes.
In your net worth? See, it's interesting. I don't even do that. I'll do it like eventually, but like I kind of like to like lower it just to, I mean, not lower it, but I kind of like to not increase it, because I don't know why. It's just like I want to hedge my bets and not think of that as event, like I would eventually, but I don't like up it by 10 grand when the market, you know, when the housing prices are up.
I don't either. I usually do it once a year to reflect inflation. Now, I think it's always good to be conservative when you're doing your net worth chart in real estate, because then like,
that's a good word. I'm being conservative.
When you sell it, you're going to have to pay commissions. There's closing costs. Like, you're not going to get, the house is worth $500,000. You're not getting $500,000 out of it when you sell it. But, you know, housing prices, some of these rentals have gone up $100,000 a piece. Yeah. And that's like, that's a material amount.
Yeah, it's worth,
if it had gone up maybe $5,000, I'd be like, this is not worth me updating.
Yeah.
But these are big increases.
But your point on diversification is a good one.
All right. The biggest thing for me this year has been travel, though. We also traveled almost 2 months with the kids, mostly overseas. And it was incredible. And it's what I want to do with my life. I also, and this is in major part to you. This is a Maggie influence, me spending more money. But I appreciated that a little bit of upgrading on travel can go a long way. You know, I've spent most of my life just thinking like I don't need these things. But, you know, if there's a way that you can, you know, get some lounge access, maybe economy comfort tickets on an overnight portion of your flight, those little expenses can make a really big difference on the overall enjoyment. And if you are going away for a month, you know, starting your trip well rested, finishing your trip well rested, having periods of time where you're not like really pushing yourself can make the experience exponentially better. And so thank you for that positive peer pressure in that regard.
You're welcome. Glad I could help.
Regarding the podcast, I mean this in the best possible way, but it has become routine. But in like a routine that you keep in your life because it provides benefits and enjoyment. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We record, we have the way that we're doing, how we plan episodes and pick topics and write notes and then edit and push these out every Monday. And I think we're really good at it by now.
Yeah. And it's in our muscle memory.
Yeah. Kind muscle of. Memory. Yeah. That's a good term. But every single time, it's super fun. Like every time we record an episode, great fun.
I don't even think I'd tell you this, Mike, but through the inbox, we get like tons of inquiries from people who say like, oh, I'll help you. What's the word? Outsource the creation of the podcast, like the editing process, the notes, the, you know, website, et cetera. And I'm always like, no, I got this down. Yeah. I don't think you, I would take me longer to like explain it all to you. Yeah, than no it kidding. Would to just do it. Yeah, no, I agree. It's very much like a, just well said, a routine's not a bad thing. It's just something that it's a good habit that we've built that doesn't feel like work. It feels like just something I do every week.
Next reflection on my books. It's not really a reflection. It's just kind of like a goal recap. But I read 43 books.
I mean, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know how you do it, Maggie. But some really good ones. A lot of these were just for fun. Like they weren't big thinking books. You know Jack Reacher?
I recognize the name.
So there's like a TV show on Amazon Prime. It's based on a series of books. I read like 5 Jack Reacher books. They're just like silly, fun, you know, crime thrillers. But I like reading a good mix of stuff that's informative but also fun. But the really impactful books were ones that were, you know, about life, like 4,000 Weeks. You know, you and I have talked about this a few times. Two Oprah books, What I Know for Sure and The Path Made Clear. Amazing.
I've read both of those, and I love that you're reading some Oprah books, too.
Love Oprah now. And then a couple recently, Black Edge, about financial crimes, which is really interesting. Oh. And then The Snow Leopard, which is also like a beautifully written book that
I really enjoy. Is that a fiction book?
No, it's a kind of autobiography about a guy who travels up to the Himalayas.
Oh,
but
interesting.
It's very beautifully written, and
I might add those to my list.
Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Hey, Mike, I would like to make an amendment here.
Okay.
So I have not read 62 books this year. I have read 62 books since I started tracking my books on Goodreads.
Mm-hmm.
I realized I clicked on the wrong thing. I have a separate like subcategory for 2022 reads, and that's at 45 books.
But it's way less than
62. I just realized I was like looking back at something and I was like, wait a minute, I read that book.
Wait, so I have some time because we're recording this a little bit before the end of the year.
Yeah, if you really want to.
All right. If I read Goodnight Moon 10 times, does that count as 10 books?
No, but you can read 10 different children's books if you want. I was going to hit some of my favorite books this year, but I'm like going through them. Okay, I'll just hit them real quick. Okay.
Is it going to be like 40 favorite books out of 45?
No, but it was when I was scrolling through them. I was like, oh, there's so many. Okay. Quit Like a Woman, The Radical Choice Not to Drink in a Culture Obsessed with Alcohol. Amazing book. And I mean, I still drink. I don't drink that often, but I do drink. But it's just an amazing book. Jodi Picoult, Wish You Were Here. An amazing book. All her books are amazing. I read a bunch of RBG books. They were all very good. This is a kind of a different one for me, but the Rob Bell book, Everything is Spiritual, Who We Are and What We're Doing Here. Fascinating book. And I am not a religious person, but I am fascinated by religion and I like learning about different things. And I would say I'm a spiritual person, but not a religious person. And just such a good book. I don't know where to begin. And then I more recently read Our Missing Hearts, which is an amazing book. Fiction, but one of those things where like it could happen in real life, and I want to be the type of person that would never allow us to have a world like that. So you'll have to read it to understand what I mean, but an amazing book. Some of the ones that just like stood out among the 40 something. Okay, so what else, Mike? What else you got?
I learned some new skills and completed some really big projects, which we captured on social media a couple times. I rebuilt my deck, which was huge. I started that the morning I got back from Europe. I mean, I wasn't messing around. I started that, and I'm still tweaking stuff. But the deck, I built an under deck screened in patio. So I had to build like concrete walls and framing, and there's a roof system, and it's like, it's done. We'd love to have you and Greg over. And then also a storage room where Britta and I poured 5,000 pounds of concrete for a slab and built up walls, and we're going to store all of our yard equipment in it. Those were huge projects. I had to learn a lot of new skills, and they've been very rewarding. I'm mostly done. I'm like 98% done now.
Those are like super impressive. Hey, where were you learning your new skills? Like, were
YouTube.
You watching you?
Who are yeah,
you?
That's okay, where I learn everything.
Yeah. Like you literally were like Googling or YouTubing how to pour a foundation yourself.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, we'll do. I feel like we need to do more content. I'm like, I have so many ideas for just like fun social content, and I never have time. And there's some really cool content around. We posted some of it, but not all of it around all your projects, Mike.
So a couple more reflections. There was an article that I read about purpose early in 2022, and this is something that I felt intuitively, but this article articulated it, and I've thought about it almost every day since, and it has really shaped the way I view work. And the idea is that finding a career with quote unquote purpose is a lie, and that you should focus on the tasks that you love. And there's a couple quotes which I want to read. The secret to a satisfying career is to find the small parts of your job that bring you the most energy and simply do more of them, which is something most of us can learn to do. They're the activities or tasks that trigger you into flow, the mental state where a person is fully immersed in the activity they're doing, tasks that don't leave you feeling drained, or elements of your job that you find yourself instinctively volunteering for. And as I went through the year, I started to separate what were those tasks that I really liked. And it's things like, you know, creating structured tracking tools in Excel and updating numbers and kind of plotting progress, like at its most basic level. That's what I really enjoy from a task level. I started doing more of the tasks that I really liked and less of all the other stuff, which sometimes I even thought that I liked, but I really didn't, because it was somewhat tangentially connected to the tasks that I liked, but that piece itself, you know, like having a meeting about it, I did not like. And so I started trying to strip out as much of all the other stuff as I could and focusing just on these daily tasks. And it's been a very satisfying year for me from a work perspective. Like I start up my computer in the morning and I do these things that get me into this flow state. And by the end of the day, I didn't even realize where all the time went. And so that was really impactful for me.
Yeah, I love that concept. And I was Googling the article while you were talking about that to find it and put a link in the show notes for folks. And I'm going to read it myself.
And then the last reflection is that all of my best moments in the year were traveling with my family. And if I think back to either the most enjoyable or the most rewarding or the most relaxing moment, it was all traveling with my family. And they keep getting better because my kids begin to appreciate them more and talk about our travels. And like it's now part of their life, and their reference material for how they see the world is through our travels. And so my whole purpose in life is to travel the world with my family. That's how I structure my job, to take the summers off. That is what my goal is. And it was just very nice that like this was the year where really 100% of my greatest moments were all these trips.
That's awesome, Mike. That reminds me that one of my best moments this year, one of the coolest moments, was when we were also traveling with our family and we met up with your family. But specifically, we were at the top of Eagle's Nest in Germany, and we had been hiking a lot the day before, but that day we actually took a, what did we take to get up to the top of there?
Well, we took a bus and then a gold plated elevator.
Yes. And anyways, you bust out of your book bag some champagne, little sippy cups or little kitten plastic cups. And surprised Greg and I with a congratulatory toast to our early retirement. And that was just like a really cool moment that your comment about just traveling with your family reminded me of. So just wanted to restate that as one of my coolest moments of 2022 also.
I'm glad. Yeah, that trip with you was awesome. That was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. Okay, Mike, I really enjoyed hearing your reflections and just thoughts on the year, because I always think it's interesting to take some time. And I encourage all of you guys, like, take some time with your good friends, partner, spouse, whoever, to just reflect upon the year. I'm going to thoughtfully do this with Greg, because it's cool doing it with you, and important, probably even more important for me to do it with my husband and, you know, reflect upon our year together.
You going to read him that poem?
Maybe I'll read. Actually, I will read him that poem.
Good.
I don't know if he's going to cry. He's not as much of a crier as I am during things like that. But we'll see. We'll see if I can make him cry. It's a great exercise and kind of thing to go through. And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. I think we literally put 5 or 10 minutes each into kind of thinking about the year and then, you know, the time talking to each other about it. And then next year, I think one of our first episodes of the year, we'll get a little bit into some thoughts and kind of intentions for 2023. And
some specific numbers from 2022 related to our net worth and spending goals.
Yeah, we're going to do a whole episode just on our 2022 spending. And then we're going to do like an episode kind of kicking off the year with some financial reminders, some of our own goals and intentions for 2023. And we'll cover that in the first couple episodes of the year.
It will be an entire episode of Maggie listing out her large expenses and me scoffing at all of them.
Yeah, I spent a lot of money. Yes, I spent a lot of money. I was actually thinking about, this is more like a tax approach. So I was like, but how can I offset what I spent to show Mike and be like, oh, well, I don't have to report that to Mike because that is offset by, you know, blah, blah, blah. In the way that I can do that with the government and be like, well, you know, yes, I spent this much on my rental properties. Yeah. I made this much, but I offset it by...
Maggie, if you start to cook the books on with your accountability partner, that defeats the purpose.
Cook the books is a good term for it. How can I cook the books before that episode? I'm not going to cook the books. I'm going to get ready with all my rationale and explanation of why I needed to buy a Tesla.
Yeah. Well, listeners, get ready. It's going to be a 3-hour episode then.
Yeah. That'll be a long one. That'll be a good one. Okay. Well, I think we don't need to do takeaways on this one because it's a different approach here.
So thanks, everybody, for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we would love to hear from you, and you can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram. And this is our last episode of the year, so happy 2022 to everyone. We hope everyone has a happy new year, and we will talk to everyone in 2023.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
Bye.